listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. So glad that you are joining us today. And we have some exciting guests that we're anticipating arriving in our studio at any time. And we also have our home team here.
Hey.
We're home.
We are all here with sort of bells on, not sure about the bells, but David, great to have you. Karen, great to have you. And of course, Brandon is, I won't say victim, but he is a partner in training with us here. Brandon, great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And so, we are going to be reaching out to the Widrows this morning, and we're going to be talking about the fast. And I don't know if you and your family are a part of a fast starting this year or a portion of this month. The Daniel fast that we have been promoting here and encouraging people to be a part of in some way started on the 8th, going to run through the 28th, and we do have a couple books available that we would like to make available to callers right now while I'm getting Tim and Maria on the line. We have 21-day Daniel fast recipe cookbook, Daniel fast recipe cookbook. And this is available to you. I have one on the desk. We'll make this available. Karen, give those phone numbers out. People can call.
That number is 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100.
And you don't have to do anything other than call us and tell us that you would like to have the Daniel Fast recipe cookbook. It's a 21-day cookbook. We also have the Daniel Fast workbook. We have one of those available today. If you call in and you're looking for that, that's a daily prayer journal, this one book per caller. And we also have a sermon journal that the Widrows have put together, and it's simply called Message from God, Weekly Sermon Journal. All right, so you give us a call. The number again is 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100, and we will, courtesy and gift coming from the Widrows, make those books available to you if you give us a call. Dave, do you have any mail today?
You know, I've got a prayer request that came in. Excuse me. Came in online. It's from Andrea, and she's asking us, we don't know where it's from, by the way, but she's asking us to pray for Seamus, a young man in his early 20s. The doctors think he may have lung cancer. He's having more tests coming up, but she asked us to pray for Seamus for healing and strength and faith to endure, and we're delighted to do that. Heavenly Father, we lift Seamus up to you right now, and Lord, there is nothing you do not know about him and his needs, but you do always call your people to pray. So we are faithful to do that this morning for him. Father, it would be our desire, Father, that he would receive your full healing grace. Lord, that as Jesus, we've been told in the Word of God that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. We claim that for him today. We do pray, Lord, that you would be with all those who are working with him in the medical profession, doctors, nurses, and such, and enable them to be at the peak of their skill and dedication, even, Lord, as you are pouring out the riches of your grace for Seamus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Karen, I think you have something there, and then we're going to, we do have callers calling in, and we may have more than one of these books, and if we do, we would be happy to give at least one more of the Daniel Fast books out. What do you have, Karen?
I have the First Church in the Nazarene, Fort Pierce. First Church in the Nazarene is having their drive-through food pantry Saturday, January 20th from 10 to 12. They said last month they served 100 families. And they just had this quick little note here. Somebody said, I was out of food and I was driving around wondering and crying about there being no food in the house. I had no money and I didn't know how we were going to make it. Then I drove by your church and saw your signs about free food.
That's awesome. Mm.
And you don't know how much nice. It means to me and my family. So praise God. And this is Fort Pierce, First Church of the Nazarene. That's on Gardenia Avenue in Fort Pierce. January,
that's awesome.
January 20th, 10 to 12, if you need food.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's great.
Nice.
What a gift.
Amazing.
Hello.
All right, we have a call out. Tim, do we have Tim and Maria Widrow, the well-known Daniel Fast leaders in our community? Are you online?
We are here. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. I have the volume up really high, and we're moving along. How many days are we into the fast? Started on the 8th.
This is day number 10 inclusive.
Day number 10. Well, give us a report. How are things going?
Well, it's been amazing. We have
people adding to us.
We have had people adding to us every time we go to a Bible study or a home church or a group we're involved. We have more and more people continuing to awaken and we have more prayer requests, and it's been absolutely very exciting what God is doing in this year in the Daniel Fast. Very exciting.
Any idea how many people are joining at this point? Any guesstimate?
Yes. Well, from the orders that we've had for the book is really the only way that we can kind of find out. So we're approaching 1,000 orders of our book nationwide. So it's not just South Florida, although we are here in South Florida, and we're very, very proud to be here in South Florida. So, but orders are coming in not only from the U.S., but in Europe, in the U.K., and so we've been very, very excited about all the people that are joining, not only locally here face-to-face, but all across the globe. It's just amazing.
Well, this is awesome, and of course, the book has been available, and really this burden has been on your heart for some years, so this isn't the first year, so I'm sure there are others that had already purchased the book. I know that's the case with our family and most of our congregation, and many of our people are participating, and I'm sure this number is just going to grow and grow. Okay, so we're already into the Daniel Fast, that the dates, and again, that started on the 8th, right? That's going to run through the 28th?
The 28th.
Okay, so 21-day fast, and we may have some listeners today that are saying, well, I didn't hear anything about it, didn't know anything about it. Talk to us about the Daniel Fast and why people could join, and why perhaps God might direct them, why maybe they should be a part.
Well, we are in day 10, and people are certainly welcome to join anytime. That's not a problem. Our prayer list keeps expanding, and we are so, so thankful for that. As you know, Jonathan, we're praying for the prodigals to come home and for unsaved family members. And we're praying to stand with Israel. We're praying for a stark revival in our land. So we are very happy to have people join us now. We've got, 11 days left. You know, people want to join. We're very happy to have them join. And they can give us their prayer requests at danielfast.org on our website. And like I said, our list is expanding. I've got to get some more pieces of paper here. And Maria and I are very happy to pray for all these folks who have joined us. So absolutely, anyone out there listening can join at any time.
So somebody might be able to join in for the rest of the fast. Someone might say, well, I've never fasted. I'll do a 3-day fast or a 7-day fast or a 1-day fast. Nothing wrong with that. Start where you are, right?
Absolutely. Not only that, it's not just the fast, of course. It's the prayer and fasting.
That's it.
Yes.
Anybody who wants to join, we are always encouraging them to pray and fast as many days as they would like, certainly.
Okay,
it's
now you
obviously biblical fast, so you know, the Daniel fast is extremely biblical fast, so it's a partial fast. Hang on just a second. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say that there are several resources that would be beneficial for anyone that's looking to be a part of the fast, and I already mentioned that we're giving some books away. I know we've had several phone calls already, but of course there's the, I don't know if it was the first book in reference to it, but the Daniel Fast, a daily prayer journal, a 21-day Daniel Fast. That book is a great guide. I have used that. And to our congregation, it may have been a couple years ago when we first brought that in, and many of our people have utilized that. But in addition to that, today I have in front of me the 21-day Daniel Fast Recipe Cookbook. So we are not asking people to starve to death. So help us out, Tim or Maria, one of you speak up and just tell us what about the cookbook and what's really involved in this time of prayer and pursuing God.
I have to explain about the cookbook. It's just something that some people have no idea what to cook and what to do during the fast. As you know, if you read the Bible, there is a different type of fast, dry fast, water fast, and then it's also divine fast, and this is a partial fast. Partial fast was done by the prophet Daniel, and that's what we're doing, and it's all biblical. There is no secular fasting here. There is no secular dieting, and the reason I decide to do this is to promote God's way of fasting and also praying. So that's very important for us. And having a cookbook is just giving you an idea how to prepare a meal. Because as I mentioned, it's a partial fast. You do not starve for food. So anybody who out there is a diabetic or people who has an issue that they have to eat their food for a certain amount every so often, this is not an issue for them.
That's very important, isn't it?
And the cookbook is a very good source to give you direction and way, okay, what I'm going to eat today. Because most of us, just face it, are meat eaters. How many times you eat seeds and nuts and pulses and fruit and vegetable all day long? Okay, also the book, that it's cookbook, has a meal plan for anybody who wants to stay in a certain calorie regimen. Also the meal it has a different type of both together. Daniel Fast workbook has a study guide, meal planning, devotional, prayers, and cookbook all together, just give you all these tools so you can achieve your way of fasting and prayer. So just knowledge. It's a knowledge base. It's not like, you know, it's very intense.
Amen. Amen. And Maria, thank you very much. You made available to our listeners some of the 21-day Daniel Fast workbooks, that daily prayer journal. And I believe we have given a couple of those away this morning. And we also still have a copy of the 21-day Daniel Fast recipe book available. And, you know, I was just looking in here, and I'm thinking about this. Here's one that has to do with, I guess this is part of the breakfast, perhaps, smoothie bowls with berries and granola. And I even found some waffles in here and some pancakes. Amazing. Mexican salads and roasted Brussels sprouts and cranberries. I'm getting hungry just looking in this cookbook.
Me too.
You too, Tim. Right. But the point is, this is not a it's not a total food fast, but it is a menu that is limited to things actually that are quite healthy for you. Let's talk about the spiritual breakthroughs. Sunday morning, I had someone stop me just as I was kind of coming into service at our church, and an area of prayer that we had been lifting up for a very long time, a son looking for permanent work and looking for an opportunity to get into a good job. That good job opened up since we've started our fasting season in the church. And
praise Lord.
I know it was a breakthrough. It was a spiritual breakthrough. Yeah, big breakthrough. And of course, we have some also that are under attack. And maybe we should mention that too. When you fast and pray, don't be surprised if you end up running into some serious spiritual warfare. But hang on, God will bring you through. Have you all experienced any of that?
Well, we usually do experience something like that, but we've been doing it enough now that we understand that the spiritual warfare, he's a defeated foe.
So amen, amen.
God has already defeated him. He is just trying to oppress and distract. So we just have to keep stay the course, keep praying, and you know, God will take care of the rest. He's always come through. He's never let us down. So the first few times we did it, of course, you know, we didn't really understand, but now we do. So anyone listening who is on the fast, and of course perhaps they're experiencing some oppression or so on, just keep praying, keep fasting. The Lord will definitely deliver you from
Amen.
This.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, this is a 21-day fast. And Tim, I think 2 Chronicles 7 had something to do with the birthing of this.
Absolutely. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the verse that we kind of hang our hat on, and we started with, because we are praying for, like I said, unsaved loved ones, but also that entails revival in our land, because each person who is saved is added to the kingdom, and that person will go out and be a light and will spread the word, and then to someone else, and then that person will spread the word, and that starts a revival. And revival is, to me, like little flames all over the United States. I always picture it as a map of the United States, and then little, like you see forest fires here, there, and everywhere, but they start to spread, and very soon the whole United States will be aglow with those fires, and of course those will spread out through Canada, through Mexico, and then through the whole world to Europe and so on. So that's really the ultimate mission and ultimate goal is revival.
Amen. Tim, I wonder if maybe you could just lift up in prayer those who are on this journey with us, and just let's take a moment and welcome the presence of God to just move on behalf of our nation. Lead us in that prayer for revival for our nation.
Absolutely. Father, we come before you in agreement with all those who are praying with us, who are fasting with us, who have been faithful servants. Lord, we pray that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, will be among all of us and will remind us of your faithfulness, Lord, and that this prayer and fast of this 21-day Daniel fast is to glorify you and to spread the gospel to all nations, as you said that it would be. And Lord, we also ask that as we pray and fast, that those family members of ours who are either walked away prodigal sons, or have never heard the gospel, or have rejected it, Lord, that they just be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That they are in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. Amen. So, Lord, we pray that this prayer and fasting be for unsaved family members, and this in turn will spark a revival in our land, Lord, that cannot be reversed. Lord, your power, your glory, and your honor will be seen in our land through this prayer and this fasting. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Tim and Maria, we love you, and we thank you for putting a challenge out to our state and to our generation to start the year out seeking God. And, of course, we are aware of the fact that we are not, through our fasting, manipulating God. But we are on a passionate pursuit of God, and I like to say this season of fasting is a season of feasting on Jesus. So thank you so much for challenging our hearts and giving us that vision and giving us a little bit of direction and dates to make it happen. God's blessings to you all. I must have lost you. And we're going to move along. All right, Karen, do we have any more mail?
We do not have any more mail.
We do not have any more mail. Let's get our guest in. We have a rabbi that is joining us, and we want to bring him in here. And we are in process. I want to thank all of you that joined us back as we were raising resources to replace our transmitter out at our tower. That work has mostly been completed, and I trust that in your home and in your neighborhood, you're able to get a clear signal from our station. And we are also in process now of upgrading our software in the station that we use to generate programming and also run our schedules throughout the day. And so that is in process. And so thank you for listening, for giving. I know we have a couple churches that have indicated that might be interested in coming along and helping with some of these software costs. And we just want to thank all of you who make WCNO possible from day to day. And we are this morning, I'm not able to make the computer do what I want it to do here, but anyhow, we do have you here, and our guest is here. Rabbi, I want to welcome you to WCNO. And good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you. I was listening on the way here.
You were? Okay, great. Did you bring someone else along?
My wife is out there, and Michael S. is out there.
Michael S. is out there. All right. I just know you as Rabbi Zamstein.
Yep.
Close?
Well, in English, yes.
In English, yes.
Yes.
But what would Hebrew sound like?
Zamstein.
Oh, my. Want to try that, Karen?
No, I don't.
It's very simple.
Zamstein.
Nice. Oh, Brandon's got it.
Zamstein.
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 Now say it fast.
Zamstein.
No, not. Zamstein. Zamstein.
Zamstein.
That's it.
Zamstein. Look at that.
And it's not Hebrew.
It is not?
No.
What is it?
It's Germanic Yiddish.
Germanic Yiddish. Okay.
Definitely sounded around that, definitely.
My father, from southwest Poland, which in the old days was part of the German Republic.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, so, Zamstein.
All right. Now, we've talked a few times, been very blessed by your own personal life and ministry on the Treasure Coast here, and also at many regional events. You bring along a troupe of shofar gifted trumpeters that just do an awesome job.
Yeah, and they got a good pair of lungs and lips.
They do. It is awesome. Rabbi, our world is in a mess. Israel's at war.
Yep.
Our nation is crumbling from just a major rejection of God. Yep. Many churches are in compromise as we see rainbow flags being raised up instead of Jesus Christ being raised up.
Yes.
And of course, we see an awakening with Jewish people, and you are a Jewish rabbi, right?
Yes, I was born in to both mother and father were Jewish.
Okay.
My name, Yaakov.
Okay.
I am named after my grandfather, who died in his 30s. The same thing I almost died from, bleeding ulcers. I was 10 minutes away by car from a hospital. He was days away from a hospital by horse cart.
Okay.
And so by the time they realized the bleeding wouldn't stop, pardon me, was too late.
Wow.
You know, I have many cousins, and I'm the youngest of the five oldest cousins, and all the boys were named after my grandfather, Yaakov.
Yaakov.
Which is a little weird. In Ashkenazic Judaism. In Ashkenazic Judaism, because they picked up some silly superstitious nonsense that if you name the same name of a living person, you know, I'm not talking about grandfather because he was dead.
Right.
But my other four cousins, somebody's going to die.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they never name. Now, if you're a Sephardic Jew,
Doesn't matter.
You know, so. I also, something very interesting, many years ago, I looked up to see if I could find the old house where my father grew up in Poland, and I found it.
Mm. Sure enough.
Online, wow. Google, whatever it was. But next door was a relative who had the same first name as my dad. And I said...
Interesting.
I said to him, Dad? Actually, I said Abba, but... Why is that? We Ashkenazic Jews do not name someone who is alive. You know, a new baby goes.
Yeah, don't know. The hands are up.
Another relative that 500 years ago our family came from the Iberian Peninsula.
Okay.
You know, and for those of you who don't know, Iberian, Spain, Portugal. And then about a year ago, a cousin of mine did a blood DNA test, and it seems we got 4% Moroccan Portuguese.
Sure enough.
So we probably were a product of the Inquisition that left that area to go and wound up in then old Germany, now Poland.
Okay, so you grew up where?
I grew up in Israel until I was 10.
Okay.
Oh. And then we moved to Chicago in August of 62. Didn't speak a word of English.
Wow.
And I found out from a cousin of mine, God bless her memory, that I was a very angry young kid. I was lost, foreign language, foreign country. She said I hated it. You know, I don't remember. I have memory issues, you know, from a very young age. I don't start really remembering too much until past 10. So something traumatic happened, whether it was a move or something else, I don't know. But I was born in the Tel Aviv Jaffa area.
Okay, familiar with it.
And then I grew up in Ramat Gan, which is a suburb of Tel Aviv.
Oh.
And then at around almost the age of 10, At the time, I didn't know why my parents wanted to move to the Golden Medina, you know, Golden Land, you know, because back then they thought that gold paved in the streets
in
of America.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't until roughly 13 years ago before my father died that I got out of him why he moved the family here, because I remember that he was very happy in Israel. He loved it there. And I did, why'd you move here? And he points the finger to me.
He wanted to give you an opportunity? No?
No, nothing, no opportunities, no fear of army duty. He said, you have learning disability. And I figured that in Israel at that time, you had no...
limited opportunities.
And when I came here, and you know what I responded to him when he told me that? I said, they didn't do a thing for me here either. they didn't have the programs even back then they have now for kids with learning disabilities. And I do have a learning disability. I have a hard time projecting my thought on paper.
Okay.
I mean, I can speak very well, but on paper, that's why I don't write that much. I write, but you know, for sermons and all that, but I can't write a book or anything like that, because it's hard for me to put my thoughts together like that. And my math, instead of an IQ of 100 plus, it is 70 or below. And I was shocked the living daylights out of me. I have a son who did a perfect 800 on SAT math.
God is good.
He understood calculus when he was in grade 5.
Wow.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That's why he's an engineer today.
Amen. All right, Rabbi, let's... did you grow up in the synagogue? I mean, is your background, did you have any?
No.
Because I've met Jewish people that have had almost no exposure to to Judaism or to Christianity or anything else. How did you get where you are?
I had neither one of them. I just had a very deep Eastern European cultural Jewish background, but not synagogal. My father and I guess my mother pretty much gave up on God after World War II, the Holocaust.
Okay.
I mean, he lost over 40 family members in the camps. He himself almost died there, but he managed to escape before they switched him from a labor camp to the concentration camp, and he joined a group of Russian guerrillas. They were called partisans. And for 5 years, he fought these German Nazis behind enemy lines until the war was over. And then he went to Israel, and he fought there. And he was there during the 48 Independence War. Yep.
So then, how did you end up being a
messianic
Jew? Do you call yourself a messianic Jew or fulfilled Jew or what?
No,
what
I call myself, I am Jewish.
You're Jewish,
and I happen to believe that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah,
is the Messiah.
I don't call myself a Christian.
Okay,
you know, even though I am a brother of Christians,
and you're a Christ follower.
Yeah, I like that, but it's more of an identification thing
for a witness
say. That I haven't given up who I am as a Jew.
So how did that happen?
Well, basically, I had no familiarity with the religious aspects of Judaism. Christianity, all I knew of was Catholicism and the thing. I still have a funny remembrance back when I was a child in the springtime around Passover that as a, I guess, teenager, and I'm seeing a lot of people walking with a smudge on their head.
Yes, you're right.
You know, and I thought, man, is there, I'm looking around, is there some sort of a billboard or something that I'm knocking into it, and that's why they got this smudge.
Am I a target or what, yeah, right?
So later on, I found out, it was the
Ash Wednesday
thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the way I came to the Lord was, I was basically my freshman year in college, and I didn't have a lot of friends, but I had a few, and one of these guys, I was walking in the hallways, and as we're walking, he happened to see a gentleman sitting on one of the stairway steps. So he knew him, he went to him, and he said hello, and this gentleman had to be happened to be a gentleman. His name is Conrad Cook. I still remember his name. He was an active worker with Campus Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
And he started talking about Jesus. And naturally, I responded, very nice, but I'm Jewish. It's not for me. Well, but he says, hey, I know a Jew who believes too. And because we had talked about my parents and all that, so with this Jewish guy, his parents are also Holocaust survivors from Hungary. So he introduced me to him. This gentleman is still active in ministry. Mm-hmm. He has a congregation in Clearwater. He has a ministry called Menorah Ministries. He's the Dean of Jewish Studies at St. Petersburg Bible College.
Mm.
Yeah, the guy is a genius. Wow. He's got four bachelors, two masters, PhD, THD, and who knows what else.
So God put him in your life.
And he took me to his studies Friday night, and for a year I listened. And then, of course, the introductions of biblical prophecy. And to me, most of them didn't mean nothing, except for two. One, Daniel, you know, chapter 9 specifically says that the Messiah had to come before the temple was destroyed, no longer. You know, and I knew it wasn't the second temple, you know, because the first one is gone with Daniel.
Right.
You know, so, and then the second one was Isaiah 53, you know, a suffering servant. Mm-hmm. And it says there's nobody else that fits that but
yeah.
Yeshua, Jesus. And then eventually I accepted him into my life. It took me a year and a half to tell, a year and a half to get my strength to go to my parents and tell them, hey, I believe in. And I was like shocked out of my mind when they said, we don't care. I said, what do you mean you don't care? It's a philosophy. You'll get over it.
So it was nothing to them. It was just a season.
Right.
A fad.
The only part they were worried about is that don't marry a shiksu. That's a Yiddish term for a non-Jew.
Okay.
So, but my lovely Jewish wife is out there.
We'll have to have her with you on air another time.
Yeah. So we've been married for 45 years.
Oh.
My son was bar mitzvahed.
Mm.
You know, he is now a professor of engineering. You know, and he is still a faithful follower.
That's awesome.
And we are overjoyed with that because we've seen many other people we have known in the past 40 years that their children are not walking with God, like many of today's people who had faithful, God-fearing people.
So you have one son. That's
yes, mm-hmm. And now I have a beautiful 16-month-old grandson.
You're a grandparent now.
Yes,
huh?
I am.
So how is that?
It's wonderful. Finally, after so many years, you know, my son, because of his studies, didn't want to be married, have anything that would take away from his studies. You know, it took him the 11 years to get his PhD. It would have taken him 3 years less, but the dissertation study that he was doing, there was a certain computer program that was no longer in use, you know, combined with a new one, and nobody knew it. So he had to learn it on his own. And it took him almost 3 years to learn it, and then he did it.
Well, we have people that are just tuning in and did not hear our opening conversation to know who our guest is today, but we're blessed to have Rabbi Zamstein with us. And Rabbi, you're sharing some of your story, how you were born in Israel. You ended up coming to the States, I believe you said the Chicago area,
right.
And not really from a Jewish religious home from that sense, but having an opportunity meeting someone that just sort of witnessed to you, really, mm-hmm. and invited you, connected you with another
Jewish follower.
So today I know that you lead a congregation. Tell us about the congregation a little bit and where you meet and how people who would like to visit or be a part of your congregation or connect with you or learn more, how could they do that?
Well, first of all, we do have a website, kerem.org. That's K-E-R-E-M-E-L www.wensdaylive.org. We have our times, our events, and everything. We meet Saturday morning, Shabbat, at 2900 Jenkins Road. That's Ted's old church.
Okay.
You know, we start at 10:30, whether it's full or not.
There we go.
Yeah, and then we usually end somewhere around 1.
Okay.
We have a short break, and then we have a Torah Bible study afterwards. So
excellent.
Me and my wife get there between 8:30 in the morning, and we don't get home until almost 5.
Wow.
So it's a
full day.
Full day, like that. So, and then on Mondays and Tuesdays, I'm busy doing jail ministries now, because now I have the time. Michael got me into that. You know, before that, I was too busy doing my full-time, what people call tent ministry. Physical therapy.
Okay.
You know, so I got a degree in physical therapy. Very difficult.
Mm.
2 ulcers and almost death. You know, because unfortunately, you know, when things don't go right, my stomach acted up with too many juices. It's a family trait on my father's side. You know, my grandfather died of a bleeding ulcer.
Mm.
I've had a couple of cousins and an uncle, 2 uncles who had surgeries similar to me that saved our lives. You know, and so I was asked by my former rabbi down in the Fort Lauderdale area to join another Messianic rabbi in West Palm Beach to help him up here.
Okay.
And that was about 22 years ago while I was still working full time.
Okay.
You know, I used to come home in Fort Lauderdale, quickly shower, dress, got in the back seat, slept for an hour and a half while my friend drove us up here.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you know, and then Saturday mornings, we stayed in West Palm because there was a congregation there. And eventually the rabbi there gave us the congregation. So we average about 50 to 70, depending on,
that's awesome,
on the weekend, like that. I mean, it's a small, financially, it's mostly people who are either low income or retirement. You know, so I keep praying for God to bring in more finances. Otherwise, you can't do that much.
Sure, sure.
You know,
sure.
But when I retired from the therapy about 3 years ago, I started to do the jail ministries. I had the opportunity. So I go Monday nights to Rock Road, Tuesday afternoon Rock Road, and then Tuesday evening I go to Okeechobee Correctional.
Okay.
You know, and then on occasion I go down to Martin County. You know, so that's the ministry. Wednesday nights I have my Bible study. I do Facebook live stream.
Okay.
You know, and if anybody wants to listen, this is Jacob Zamstein Facebook live stream. I start at 7 o'clock. You know, and it's usually anywhere between half hour to sometimes over an hour, depends on the topic. And when I first started, I opened it up, you know, so you everybody can participate and all,
sure,
that, because that's what we do at our Torah study. But I soon realized I can't do that because too many people, and I couldn't go far.
You couldn't get a word in, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I just said, "Sorry, folks, I'm the only one speaking, but you can make your comments on the side."
There you go.
That was it.
There,
so
you go.
I'm busy with that. We do have Messianic conferences that we go to if we're able to. I love going to Israel. I haven't been there since February of 2019 because, you know, first
COVID
the COVID and then just unable to. I'm hoping to visit this year as soon as I get my kidney stones out.
Oh, I just went through that.
I don't want to be stuck there if something happens, you know, and so it's, you can pray for me. I've been bleeding for 3 months.
Mm.
You know, thank God the pain is minimal.
Wow.
You know, but I was supposed to have a procedure last week, but due to whatever circumstances, that's
frustrating. Didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Well,
no.
We just have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that you have opportunity to again share the web address. Want people who are listening to know how they can connect with you. So let's give that again.
Okay. you could go to caramel.org, caremel.org. And you can see the events there. You can watch online our Shabbat service that if you can't attend, if you want to donate, there's a donate button there.
Good.
For a while, we had problems because the bank cut everything off because people would get in there and basically using that to rob not just us, but them. So we found the bank was able to get whatever organization they got
set up a secure
line.
Good.
Like that.
And so, the address?
2900 Jenkins Road, Fort Pierce.
Fort Pierce. So you are in Fort Pierce. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just touch on something before we run out of time today, actually, and we want to close with prayer because we know Israel's at war, and we as individuals here that work at WCNO, we're very supportive of Israel, and we pray for the salvation of Israel, obviously. Just thinking about that, we want to close with some prayer. But in looking at the Word of God, it talks about the days of the Gentiles and the mercy of God grafting us in into the plans of God, where we're, you know, I'm, as far as I know, I think I'm from a Gentile root, maybe over in Scotland somewhere, you know. Wow. But it talks about that the days of the Gentiles will come to a conclusion, but that the Jewish people, there's going to be this awakening. And I as I look at what I see, I love Joshua Aarons, mm-hmm. and you know, Paul Wilbur north of us up here in northern Florida, and so many. I see more and more messianic musicians, psalmists that are being raised up. You can go to YouTube, you can pull these up, and I love that. What do you see taking place now? Is this a transition? Is there an increase of Jews coming to Christ?
In the world today, depending upon which polls are taken, it could be up to 1 million Jews who believe. You know, most of them, though, are churchgoers. They basically, because of their backgrounds, either salvation by Gentile groups, or they've basically had too much with legalized religion.
Yeah.
You know, prefer free, open. But we feel that you're hiding. You need to come out to show that you're still Jewish and not disappear. Yeah. Like, if you look at history, most Jews who came to faith, they are no longer Jewish, you know, several generations later. Part of our thing is first proclaim the gospel, the good news, the Besorah, as it's called in Hebrew, you know, and then, of course, maintain who we are. Because, let's face it, why is there so much hatred in the world that is caused by our adversary, the Satan? Because if he can destroy the Jewish people, that means you can't trust God in anything else. Because he said, I will always keep a remnant. And if there is no remnant, how can you believe that God promised the Messiah who will redeem you? You know, so that's why there's so much hatred. And I personally feel that yes, pray for Israel, pray for their redemption and all that. But it's also the fact, Jewish people, wake up. This is the time where Jeremiah spoke. You know, for years, I've called fishermen to bring you home. Now the hunters are here. And realize that. And I think part of the problem also is regarding with the war in Israel specifically. God is dealing with the nations, how they treat his people. Mm. But also, irregardless of Yeshua, you know, that he's the Messiah, he's dealing with them anyhow, because the majority of Jews people are not faithful followers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They want to be, as the scripture says, we want to be like the rest of the world. Mm. You know, and so they don't understand that they are called to be a holy, separated people, not better, you know, but they're supposed to be the priests of the world.
Yes.
You know, that's what Peter wrote, you know, when he copied in the scripture, Exodus 19, that you are a holy people, and Peter resolves you are a holy royal priesthood, meaning not only Jews, but those who have been adopted into the family of Israel. You know, so God is dealing with both, you know, because when you look, Jews are considered Jews, but the religious Jews who are still faithful to what they believe is the right way to follow God, they say they're all secular people whom they call Hiloni. You know what Hiloni is?
Mm-mm.
Change it to English. Hiloni. Hellenist.
Hellenist. Okay.
Secularist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they said they are not Shomer. They don't guard God's word. Mm. So they need to do this. And then realize also that, you know, ultimately they will say Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's what Yeshua said, you know, that he won't come back until they say so. You know, because in many years I followed TBN and all the things that says the Lord won't come back until the gospel goes all around the world. I believe the gospel, 99.9%, pretty much has gone around the world.
Pretty much.
But now it's time for the Jews to awaken, realize, and as they see in Zechariah 12, they'll cry for one, they'll mourn as an only son, and then finally proclaim, as Yeshua said, I'm not coming back until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then pretty much that's it. I'm looking forward to visit Israel once again from number 17.
Wow.
I've been there 16 times. I've had the privilege of being in most places. There's other places I can't go because it's too dangerous, like
sure.
on the West Bank. I've sat on the seat of Moses, as Jesus said, you know, up in Chorazin.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the convent in Jerusalem on the north side of the temple area where Yeshua Jesus was basically scourged by the Roman soldiers.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't realize it until I saw the little scratches on the floor.
In the floor.
What's called the King's Gate.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, whoa. So it's amazing that, you know, if you haven't been to Israel, go there. You know, as soon as this crazy stuff is over with enough. I mean, you can still go there, but major groups are not being led because they still have these rockets that are still flying. So, but I intend to go as soon as this procedure is done with, whether over or not. You know, so it's a bargain now, folks. Cheaper.
Yeah, it's a bargain right now. It's a bargain right now. Dave, any questions for the rabbi before we kind of close our morning out?
No, I'm good. I've been enjoying listening to him and getting to know him here.
Any questions, Brandon? Any thoughts?
Absolutely not. I just got to say it's a pleasure to hear him speak. It's amazing hearing him talk about his experience. Everything, it's very unique. And
I appreciate it. No, thank you.
I also kind of relate a little bit to the part where it's like you're kind of an angry child. I was an angry child a lot too at one point as well. I relate to that part a lot.
Karen, you've been quiet.
Yeah, just enjoying your story and hearing because you were here before, right? What, did he come on
no.
here?
One
no.
time I popped in and he invited
yeah,
me.
That's true.
Yeah,
yes, you did come in
couple
briefly.
Of minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I just am enjoying getting to know you.
And I consider myself with the kind of a lesser thing. Some of my fellow Messianic rabbis, some of them PhDs, THDs. I said, I would have gone there if not for the fact that I have difficulty in writing, and I did attend cemetery, as I lovingly call it. I was going for a Master of Arts in Religion, and I'm not going to go to why I had to end it, but I had courses, I had to have papers every week, tests, and it was very difficult for me. So, but that's not why I had to stop. You know, there was other reasons. So, anyhow, I do have a lot of education. I've taken courses on my own. I have a friend of mine who's a Messianic rabbi in Indiana, and when he was going to cemetery to get his MDiv, I sat in on some of the leading professors of the day, you know, including Walter Kaiser, impressive man, Old Testament Old Testament professor. I got to sit, and my friend who was there, his name is Jeff, he is a walking Bible. If you ever want to interview something, he's a walking Bible. You say a verse, he'll finish it and tell you where it is.
And what's his name again?
His name is Jeff Adler.
Jeff Adler.
And he's also, even though I speak better Hebrew than he does, but as far as grammar, he can make a whole sermon on one word.
One word.
Either Hebrew or Greek.
Well, maybe you can get us connected. Wow. We have a dear friend that's just stepped into the studio, and I believe, Rabbi, you know him. And we're going to try to get him on a mic here in just a second so he can say hello to all of his friends.
Should I say live long and prosper?
You could say that. Come on over to a mic, Tom. We have the manager that really brought this this station up over, 29 years?
Right at 30 years,
Tom, and you handed things off to me, a reckless decision you made there. But, Tom, say hello to the people. We have Rabbi with us. I believe you know him as well.
I don't think so.
No, you haven't met. Okay.
Not met. I know the lady across here.
Naeem Ma'od.
Shalom. Ma shalom. Ha ayom.
B'say the Gamor. Yechata.
Tom Creighton, welcome. Welcome back to WCNO for a few moments.
Good to see everybody.
He does look relaxed.
To come in, I just thought that Karen might be here. I heard something about her. She was on the radio a minute ago. I said, well, I haven't seen Karen. I came down the other day, saw you guys, I wanted to make sure I got to see Karen and make sure she's behaving.
She and I still have the phone number memorized.
But it is good to be back in Florida for a few days. I'll be flying out on Saturday morning. I drove my motorcycle down from North Georgia through the rain and the cold. And
Braveheart.
I thought I'd seen some rain until I was down here yesterday. No, it was the day before yesterday on Monday, and I drove back to Port St. Lucie, and I got into a biblical storm.
Yeah.
And I got home, and I was wet. I stopped at a place, put on my rain suit, and then when I got back to the house, I was soaking wet, and I couldn't understand why my jeans was wet until I took the rain suit off and saw that the whole seat had torn out.
Oh, my.
So I think that was because of the lightning that was popping around me.
It was a bad storm.
It was an experience, but one that I'll remember for a week or two anyway.
Tom, we love you. You put a lot of years of your life, the primary years of ministry, you sowed right here at WCNO. You have a lot of friends out here. I know that they ask about you, and they want to know, how are you doing? How's your family? What are you doing in retirement?
Well, as I said, we retired to Rome, Georgia, my hometown, up in northwest Georgia. It was 11 degrees there this morning, so I'm really happy to be down here. And we've been up there since we retired, and we're doing well. I've had a couple of hiccups, you know, with my heart on occasion, but thankfully the Lord has helped that improve, and I'm doing pretty well. I was able to, you know, navigate that motorcycle down, as the people on the sidewalk didn't care for it, but you know, I did well. And
is that a two-wheeler or a trike?
No, it's a Harley with a sidecar. I've had it since 2003, and my grandson just turned 15 on the 1st of January, and his father's birthday is December 31st. So I rode the motorcycle down, I'm flying back, and I'm leaving the motorcycle with them so that those people on the sidewalk will be okay from now on.
he'll be joining this guy up at Port St. Lucie I see every day on US-1 with his dog in a sidecar.
Oh, yeah.
Tom did that. Tom used to drive in here with Stumpy. Yeah, Stumpy would come in.
He came to work with me here every day, and he passed away about a year ago, Karen sent me a card about that was just, you know, I still have that card, and I don't want to talk about Stumpy. I start
crying.
Getting a little misty.
I do, too, and I just knew him for that few years.
You know, I
Had him for 15 years, and
wow,
he was a great little Boston Terrier.